My first guest in this edition is Professor Larry Sabata, who teaches political science at the University of Virginia. He's also director of UVA's Center for Politics and is the author most recently of A More Perfect Constitution, which is now available in paperback. We want to get his thoughts on the second presidential debate between John McCain and Barack Obama, held Tuesday night in Nashville in a town hall style format. And Larry, thanks as always for your time.
Wonderful to be with you, Greg.
The conventional wisdom going in is that the latest national polls, as well as battleground state polls, showed the momentum going to Barack Obama, and therefore John McCain needed a game-changing performance. By most accounts, today he didn't get that. Do you share the assessment of what he needed to do and what he actually accomplished?
With one exception, I just hate the term game changer, and I've pledged to ban it from my own vocabulary and to object every time it's used. So pardon me for going off the interstate highway and onto
a dirt road,
but I just feel strongly about that. In any event, I would put it this way. There are 4 weeks to go. You've got a situation where all of the fundamentals, I mean all of the fundamentals, presidential popularity, Bush being down now below a point where Nixon was on the day he resigned, the war in Iraq, yes, the surge worked, but over 60% still won out, think we never should have gone in, and most of all the economic meltdown, which has put the Democratic Party's best issue, its central issue, right at the top of the campaign agenda, maybe in the first three or four slots, just in time for the election. And we may well be entering a recession. Even the most cautious economists think that this has all probably been too much, even for the vibrant American economy, and that it may well have slipped into a recession. Put all that together. And the amazing thing is that McCain has held on as long as he has. Could something happen that would transfer people's attention from the economy to foreign policy over the next 4 weeks? Sure, we can all think of things. Some of the things we can think of we don't even want to mention. But we all know them. And it's happened before. It happened in Spain. It happened in Britain. It could happen here, God forbid. So there's days left on the campaign trail, there's a hope in life for any candidate on the ballot. Having said all that, it will be remarkable. It may take a series of small miracles or one big miracle for McCain to catch up to Obama by Election Day.
Larry, in terms of the economy, you and I have talked many times before that the economy often is the decisive factor in an election, particularly if an incumbent's on the ballot. We talked about that a lot back in the 2004 campaign. Since McCain's not technically an incumbent, but he is a member of the party of the unpopular president, he's obviously taking a hit on this. Is there any way for him to actively defend himself to the point where he could actually turn this to an advantage for himself?
I don't think so at this point. R is a scarlet letter this year. Remember, D was a scarlet letter in 1994, and It was a scarlet letter during the impeachment process for Clinton, and it was a scarlet letter in 2002. But R was a scarlet letter in 2006. It's a scarlet letter this year. There's a cycle to everything, politics, economics, life. This is part of the cycle. And having an R next to your name this year on the ballot for president, for Senate, for House, for even state legislative positions is actually subtracting points. Just a letter next to your name is subtracting points. It's making races that should never have been competitive very competitive.
Larry, in terms of the content of the debate Tuesday night, most of what the candidates had to say, they said in the previous debate in Mississippi. Obviously, there was more of a focus on domestic issues probably than in the first debate, which was supposed to be entirely about foreign policy. Did we really get any sort of new ideas other than John McCain's government should buy up the bad mortgages idea? And if we didn't get any new ideas, why didn't we get more new ideas?
Well, you can always blame the questions, but part of it was that this format just almost never leads to breaking new ground. And here I have to be critical of both candidates. You know, as you listen to them, I'm just convinced, and I think they're both fine and good people and all the rest, but one lives in Disneyland, the other lives in Disney World. You know, we're getting promised all these tax cuts and all this new spending, and there's just one problem. We're bankrupt. You know, we've got a $10 trillion national deficit, a debt rather, with a half a trillion in new debt being added this year and probably a half a trillion next year. $53 trillion already committed before 2050 in Medicare and Social Security and veterans benefits and all the rest of it. And we're talking about more tax cuts and new spending. Hey, this is the old hot fudge sundae diet the candidates are serving us. Here, have hot fudge sundaes, as many as you want, and you'll lose weight as long as I'm elected president. No, we'll gain weight.
Larry, there had been some discussion as to whether or not John McCain would go after some of Barack Obama's past associates, like Tony Rezko, like Bill Ayers, the former domestic terrorist, like the Reverend Jeremiah Wright. Some say that Republicans have to make this about Barack Obama and whether he's fit for office. Others say if he goes in that direction, as Sarah Palin already has, it really looks desperate and this election will be over long before Election Day. How do you see it?
Well, vice presidents are normally the attack dogs for the presidential nominee. That's part of their role. So, you know, it's okay for her to raise whatever she wants to raise. Anybody who thinks that that's a winning issue hasn't studied American politics very long. That's not the way politics works, particularly not in a big issue election like 2008, when people are focused on the economy and foreign policy and all the rest of it. You have to spend 5 minutes explaining who Bill Ayers is and what the weathermen were to people who aren't as old as I am and didn't live through it. Whenever you have to spend time explaining something to people before they get the punchline, probably a lot of them have tuned out for the punchline.
Larry, unfortunately, our time is up. We'll certainly check in with you after the third and final debate and see if the momentum in this race has changed at all. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Larry Sabatow teaches political science at the University of Virginia, where he also directs UVA's Center for Politics. He's also the author, most recently, of A More Perfect Constitution, now available in paperback. This is Dateline Washington.